Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Listen for the word of the Lord as it's recorded in Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out in a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. What do these people have in common? I've been asking you in my daily emailer frequently in the last month. Many of you have taken guesses. Let me ask you again. What do the astronaut Buzz Aldrin and the musician Ludwig von Beethoven, the quarterback Terry Bradshaw, Winston Churchill, the singer Judy Collins, the tennis pro Monica Seles, and Abraham Lincoln, what do they have in common? I'll answer that in a moment. In the first chapter of Mark, the 21st verse, we find Jesus teaching at the synagogue at Capernaum, and the crowds are impressed. He teaches with authority. The scribes, the special educated elite who are known for their commentary on the Torah, they have authority as well. But the crowd notices that Jesus has more, and they're amazed. As if this teaching news weren't big enough, however, the gospel writer Mark spends a lot of time telling this story about the man who Mark says has an unclean spirit, how he interrupts Jesus' preaching. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Jesus scolds the spirit, telling the spirit, "Come out of this man." And the spirit convulses the man and comes out. And the people are so impressed. He speaks with such authority. People like this man with an unclean spirit are often called demoniacs in the New Testament. That phrase, demoniac, appears something like 14 times in the Gospels alone. And to be a demoniac appears to have broad meaning. It speaks of an unspecified illness. It's often associated with blindness, with violence, with epilepsy, with being tormented, with madness, a demoniac. I want to take an imaginative leap here in this sermon, and I want you to kind of jump with me, and I want to ask a touchy question, one that I could be wrong about, so I want to say that on the front end, but I want you to think it through with me. Do you think that the writer of Mark's gospel is describing people with mental illness, people struggling with mental illness? You know, in the New Testament, of course, there is no term for mental illness, but those words seem to capture something of what's going on in this scene. At least it does for me. And in the New Testament, as in modern times, mental illness is at the very least an interruption. It's an interruption in this scene. Polite people then and now often don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it, nor do we want to admit or identify acknowledge people with mental illness around us. We want to avoid it. Am I right about that? I think, unfortunately, I am. Even if I'm not describing you, I think, unfortunately, I'm right. We'd rather avoid it. It comes with stigma and taboo. That's how Neely Simpson felt about her Aunt Nan. Neely wrote this beautiful blog when Aunt Nan, at the age of 62, completed suicide. Aunt Nan struggled with mental illness, and Neely writes about it. Let me share some of those words. "One night when I was an infant, Nan came to visit. My mother noticed that there was something off about her and woke late in the night hearing a voice in the kitchen. When she went to investigate, she found Nan sitting at the kitchen table talking to people who weren't there. My mother marks that as the beginning of a lifetime spent cycling in and out of mental hospitals, the beginning of repeated disappearances and missing person reports, the beginning of calls from the police saying that they'd found Nan nude behind a restaurant, walking barefoot in the rain down the middle of a busy Charlotte road, or locked in a gas station bathroom face down and unconscious, miles from home. Once when I was 5 years old, Nan disappeared for 3 months and was eventually found living out of her car in Charleston. She was often mistaken for a homeless person." Neely admits that relating to Aunt Nan was difficult through Neely's childhood and into her young adulthood. "My mother called her every day. I tried to call her once a week when she wasn't missing or in a mental hospital, but I didn't follow through all of the time. The truth was, she could be hard to talk to. The truth was that she made me feel uncomfortable. The truth was that her life was sad and it frightened me. The truth was that I was deep down desperately afraid of becoming her. So I relegated her to a place in the periphery of my life." Mental illness frightens and befuddles us. When we talk about it, as I'm daring to do now, when we talk about it, we often run the risk of being patronizing. Our thoughtful talk and words sometimes aren't thoughtful at all. And instead of bearing light, we generate smoke. Instead of making things better, we make things worse. And so we don't ever talk about it. We zip our mouths. We look the other way. We are polite people. So we don't name what we think is standing before us. Now, I don't want to further marginalize any person in their struggle or a family who is with a person in their struggle. In mental illness. At one time or another, each of us has probably stood somewhere on that spectrum, and each of our families has been touched by the brokenness of the body and the spirit that is the case with being human. No matter how much we say we care, no matter how we fumble expressing that care, people with mental illness often feel unheard, they feel marginalized, they feel misunderstood, they feel unreachable. That what they think is absolutely incomprehensible to other people. But in Capernaum, a man with an unclean spirit called upon Jesus. "Jesus, what would you do with us? I know who you are." And Jesus said to him, "I know who you are too. You are a child of God. You are my brother. You are the apple of God's eye. You are created of God and beloved. I know who you are too." And Jesus said, "Hey, illness, come out of that man right now." and the man was healed. When this man with an unclean spirit ranted and raved in Capernaum, it's a safe bet that people avoided him, that people thought, oh no, not again. But one day, Jesus saw him, and Jesus didn't turn the other way. Jesus didn't pretend not to notice. Jesus didn't revile this man. Jesus did not ignore this man. Jesus simply acknowledged him and healed him. The crowds are right. Jesus speaks with authority. The people named at the top of the sermon have many things in common, but one thing is this. They are alleged to have struggled with mental illness. They suffered from what Churchill called visitations from the black dog, depression. They suffered from social anxiety and bipolar disorder, bulimia, depression, alcoholism, and other substance abuse issues, disorders. But thanks be to God, in every case, these men and women were blessed with the community who saw them as they were, beloved children of God. They saw them for their talents and for their humor and for their quirkiness and brilliance and strength, their humanity. Somebody loved them even though they were beset by demons, to use the New Testament language, or brain chemistry, to use modern language, that sometimes made it difficult for them to function. Somebody loved them anyway, in every case. That's not the first miracle at Capernaum. Jesus stopped and he noticed and he had compassion. That's the first miracle at Capernaum. That's the first miracle. Jesus stopped and noticed and had compassion. The second miracle, of course, is that he healed him. But the first is that Jesus stopped and noticed this person to begin with. And that's the miracle that God has empowered us to perform. That miracle of stopping and noticing and pausing and respecting and acknowledging and thanking and listening to and sitting down with somebody who might otherwise seem marginalized or be marginalized in our culture. That's the miracle that God has given us the power to perform. Maybe not the second one, where we are able by God's grace to heal as Jesus did, but we bring our healing simply by listening and acknowledging and sitting with. Maybe we can't be in the front lines like so many of our social workers and doctors and counselors and Jesus, but we can be in the periphery, like my friend Neely and her relationship with her Aunt Nan. I am aware in my work as a pastor that I cannot cure mental illness. There was a time when I thought if I just said the right words, if I smiled just the right way, if I was able to be hospitable in a consistent and loving way, that people would just be healed, that they would not worry anymore. They would be freed from the things that gnawed at them. But of course, I have since come to believe I can't cure mental illness. I can't make troubles go away. I sometimes try. I cannot make anxieties evaporate. But I can do my small part, like Neely did with her Aunt Nan, on the periphery. And I can pay closer attention to the one who spoke with authority in Capernaum. The one who stopped, the one who didn't run away, the one who took some time, the one who paused to love. I can, by God's grace, follow Jesus' example. I can try to do that. God can help me. Oh God, help me to do that. I can, and I pledge to you, I try. I will continue to try. Jesus still speaks in synagogues and churches and on street corners and in boardrooms and in bedrooms when we are on our hands and knees in prayer. Jesus still speaks for those who dare to listen. Could it be, I wonder, that by God's grace, people still hear Jesus' voice in our words? Could that be? They feel Jesus' love in our expressions of friendship? Could that be? In a world of hurt, could it be that Jesus invites us in God's name to touch the world's hurt with God's healing in our hands, with power in our voices, with justice on our minds, with love in our hearts? Could that be? I think so. I think so. Help me to pray. Oh, great God, help us to be your disciples and grant us courage and peace. For we ask it in the name of the one who calls us to follow. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.